Again, get ready. More fun and adventure on the way. You know, we've made a commitment here at Advanced Living Radio to bring you things that make your life easier and that you can add them to your life without going crazy in the process. There are some things that are helpful but so complex to implement that a person stresses out just trying to do a good thing. That's not a good thing, is it? We have a philosophy here that says, if we're doing this on target, we'll get your feedback that it helped you, and what would you say?
That was easy.
Yes, that was easy. We're going for easy for you and helpful because we've made a commitment here. And before we get started, just to say a thank you to AdvancedLiving.com. That is the sponsor of our program, and they feature the wonderful Comfort Clock technology. We invite you to visit AdvancedLiving.com and learn about how a simple digital clock, we call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers, because it's been so modified that when you plug it in, tongue-in-cheek, we say it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. Beautiful energy to help you sleep better and live better. Today, oh boy, are we in for a big treat. Dr. Susan Levy is here to share some amazing things with us. She has been practicing chiropractic for almost 30 years now and has, before that, a background in nursing. She'll give a few more details. What's so amazing, she came out with a book that's been reprinted a couple of times. And this originally came out in the 90s and has stood the test of time, has been helping people. Oh, my gosh. It came out in 1996, and so here we are. 13 years later, and her book, Your Body Can Talk. We could do a book, Your Friends Can Talk, Your Neighbors Can Talk, but what Dr. Levy is going to give us is the ability to listen to what our body is trying to tell us in a meaningful way that goes way beyond just whether we have aches and pains. We know if we're in pain, we're hearing our body talking to us. But how would you like to be able to take that to another level? Not just to know, okay, I've got a sensitivity, something is hurting me, that's obvious, but how would you like to be able to track exactly what's the underlying cause of that? Doesn't that sound kind of interesting? And to be able to do this quickly and easily, and then to take steps that she's been using for her patients for many, many years to be able to change things around so that you can address the root causes. Oh, yeah. This is exciting, exciting. So strap on those notepads and tape the show, whatever you need to do. Call your friends up. Tune in. We are going to have some fun here today. Welcome, Dr. Levy.
Hi, Ken. I'm so glad to be with you and to be talking about health and things that impact our health. That's just what my life is absorbed and totally about.
Yes, for sure. I feel so honored because of my location to actually be a patient of yours, and that goes back for many years, and I've been now in Colorado as the main place for your practice, but it's interesting that through some of your techniques, we'll give out information during the program, people can call in from all over the country and all over the world and get the benefit of your help, which I think is just absolutely fabulous. Tell me a little bit more about your background. We know you've been practicing for almost 30 years, and can you go into a little bit of what got you started in this, some of the things with nursing, all of that stuff?
Oh, that could take a long time. I'll have to try to tone
okay.
it down some. But,
all right. Yes, the Reader's Digest version, please.
Reader's Digest. Well, I had a great interest in health years and years ago, and actually I became a nursing assistant and worked a little bit in nursing homes and hospitals. I saw I really had very little input, you know, no decision-making and no input. So I went to nursing school and became an RN and then worked in some specialties. I worked with spinal cord injury patients at a rehabilitation center in Denver with this world-renowned Craig Rehab, and learned a lot about the nervous system and injuries to the nervous system. I also worked with burn patients, and I decided early in my nursing career I was going to work with people that had a need for any drugs or surgery. I was going to work with only the most severe things. So I did that for some period of time, and I learned, constantly learning, looking for that the holistic viewpoint really embraced my philosophy so much better. And I elected to go to chiropractic college. Actually, I began studying massage prior to that and became a massage therapist. And believe me, for about 6 months, I worked the night shift as a registered nurse, and I worked the day shift as a massage therapist, and then I slept a little bit and went back for more. But I've been looking really to see what can help people most safely, the most non-invasively approach that we could possibly do. And I've focused in on using technology as a primary evaluation tool and then a mixture of wonderful holistic treatments and therapies, including acupuncture, chiropractic, color and sound therapy, emotional work, mixing all those together. And so that kind of brings us up till to the current time that I use the tool of clinical kinesiology to understand what's going on with a person.
Oh, okay. And people can understand the word clinical. They may not be familiar with kinesiology and what the two clinical kinesiology mean. Can you help fill us in a bit about that?
All right. Clinical kinesiology. Kinesiology, actually, is the study of motion. When you take that word and look at a very straightforward definition, it's the study of movement or study of motion. But there are branches within kinesiology. So I always like to let people know the most common kinesiology is that academic science of understanding which muscles move which joints, how many degrees of motion happen at the elbow or the knee or the hip. Then in the 60s, Dr. George Goodhart expanded upon that basic academic kinesiology to term applied kinesiology, or the science of applied kinesiology. There are quite a number of practitioners who have learned kinesiology. Many of them are chiropractors, some naturopaths, some in different disciplines. And the applied kinesiology is more or less applying the information of how the body movements happen to an understanding of when we test muscles on the body for strength, we can understand, is the muscle strong by in and of itself? And if it is, we can use that strength or change in strength to give other information. Let's say testing a runner. The first time you may test, say, the strength on a runner, and they have not had any real problems with their running and their functioning, you touch the hamstring muscle, activate it, and do a muscle test on a different muscle, and everything stays strong. But let's say one day the runner has overstretched the hamstring, and there's pain, it's not a muscle. You touch the muscle, do a test of a different muscle, an arm muscle, indicator muscle, and all of a sudden the person's arm is weak. So that shows that there's a glitch. There's a problem in the electronic transference of the message throughout that nervous system.
Ah, now, I don't know if
so
this
with
would...
the applied kinesiology, you get the more basic information, and then we can go on to the clinical.
Ah, now, for people, let me ask you this. I've tried to explain to folks sometimes a little bit of a concept of this, and I don't know if this would make any sense. I said that the brain sends signals through the nervous system to operate different parts of the body, and if we're thinking if something interferes with that, then we would have some malfunction, and it could be like with a muscle or with an organ or something in the body. And I tried to explain to people, and I don't know if this is a good example, that if you were watering your lawn and you had the hose turned on, and it was going out, say, 20 or 30 feet, and then someone came along, and you didn't see them, but between you and the faucet, they stepped on the hose and impeded the flow. So all of a sudden, instead of the water going out 30 feet, it maybe only was going out 20 feet or 10 feet, or they may have stepped on it in a way where, my gosh, the water was totally cut off, and even though it was still on from the faucet. You know, and so to me, I don't know if that's a way for people to understand how something can interfere with the flow of energy, and then we can see a difference in a muscle response.
Absolutely. That's a good correlation. Basically, we're looking at that energy flow. How complete is the connection? How sufficient is the flow of energy going from one area to another? And when we're using the kinesiology muscle testing, when we find a problem area or a problem situation, the muscle goes weak, it's because the brain has a sorting mechanism. And in the study of neuroanatomy, we learn about the reticular activating system and the part of the brain that we can think of as really just simply a sorting and screening function. And no one has to try and learn the neuroanatomy, but just know that the brain, it does sort information, and it makes a file of information, or it sorts the information into a variety of files would be a better way to describe that. And so an example I've used sometimes is, let's say you're walking along and you're trying to get, you know, from point A to point B, and you actually have your hands full. You've got things you're carrying. You're walking along, and a little pebble gets in your shoe, and you cannot stop easily to get that out. So this pebble is in the shoe and is pressing, making an impression on the sole of your foot. But in your mind, you can sort that into, okay, I feel this pain. I feel that there's a rock in my shoe. I only have about 50 feet to go to get to my destination. I can set my things down and deal with that. So then you sort that data. I mean, the input data from your pain receptors is telling the body, hey, there's a problem. This needs to be looked at. This could be a danger to the body. That's why you feel that pain. And so you can put that into a different category of, yes, I acknowledge this is going on. It's not going to damage the body now. I can handle it, and I'm deferring it to be dealt with later. So now in your disorder, in your brain, you have put that in a different category. And let's say, just for an example, you move from that look, you get in the door, you set your things down, and suddenly a friend is there that you haven't talked to for 12 years. And you sit down, talk with the friend, you get totally absorbed. And now your consciousness can move away from the idea that, hey, I needed to get the rock out of my shoe. You can be diverted enough, because now you're not standing on it, so you've lessened the pressure. You can get diverted now into a different filing system, that the rock in the shoe now is a lesser priority. You know, first it was a primary priority, then it was kind of a secondary one. Now it's in that realm of a tertiary or third concern. We're not thinking about it. We're talking with this friend. So hopefully that kind of can let you see how the same piece of data could fit into three different files.
Now, I guess if we...
But let me just say it. Let's say, though, I immediately walked in. We take that person, lay them down on a appropriate treatment table, take off the shoe, and we find this divot, so to speak, in their foot, an impression of the rock. I can touch that spot and do a muscle test, and it will go weak, no matter what they're consciously thinking, whether they're remembering that the little dent is there, whether they're thinking how wonderful it is to connect with my friend I haven't seen for 12 years or not. A part of the unconscious mind remembers that there is a problem at that location on the foot, and if I touch that spot at the same time trying to do the muscle test, their nervous system gets overloaded. It cannot process the data about the potential injury at the same time as doing this muscle test. And so really, when I do a muscle test of that nature and it goes weak, when we're pointing out a problem in the body, it's because the body wants to process the data about its internal workings, its data information about what's going on in there, more, it prioritizes that, and that's more important than following a command to do a particular muscle test, which doesn't seem very important to the functioning of the body.
Right, right. Well, that's quite interesting that there's a complexity going on within the brain of managing different things in the body. And
exactly. And
what I think is so also fascinating, when I'm being treated by you and part of the idea of your book is to begin to help people to, one, learn to do some basic muscle testing, and then two, that I am just so impressed, because here I'll come in and we have a particular set of symptoms. Oh, my back may be hurting, or there's a sore on my leg, or there's an eye, or who knows what. Different kinds of things come up for people that they're dealing with. And then the beauty of your work is through the muscle testing and through different ways of accessing the information that the body has to share, you go from not just, okay, here's this area that's sore, but what is it actually about? And you have a sorting system, so there can be a something in a back, but it may be about the liver. It may be about, rather than just the back itself. And can you go in and explain a little bit of that to us?
Yes, I'd love to. Really, the title of my book is Your Body Can Talk, and that was chosen to help people understand that the symptoms that our body has, the little feeling, oh, not quite as good one day, or not as energetic another day, or queasy one day, or the back pain at some point, or one eye being very red and bloodshot, and no reason can be found. These are not separate, disjointed little quirks. These are communications. Each of them have a meaning. And basically, a little axiom that I'll say is each and every symptom in your body is indicating a certain level of imbalance of one of the 12 organ and acupuncture meridian systems. The acupuncture meridians connect two specific organs, and almost every symptom that we have can be attributed to one, if not more, of those systems. So let's take an example. You mentioned the back pain, lower back pain. The vast majority of people who have lower back pain, when I do the muscle testing and try to correlate what it relates to, more often than not, this will relate to an imbalance in the kidney meridian. Now, there are other organ systems and meridians that could be involved, but let's just go with the, say, the 80% chance that it will be kidneys. The same person may have other signals at other times that still are indicating this meridian is off function, not balanced, not perfectly functioning, and they never really realize it. So let's just create a scenario. Let's say a few years ago this person had a period of time where they sprained their ankles frequently. You know, first it's the right ankle, then it's the left ankle, then they come back and sprain the right ankle again. So a weakness of the ankles may very well have to do with a kidney meridian imbalance, and it can have to do with other things as well. Sprains can have to do with lack of minerals, especially manganese. They may have been in a period of life where they were doing something that depleted the manganese and stressed the kidneys both. And at that point, what manifested, the symptom that manifested, would be easily sprained ankles. Let's say they had no knowledge of the underlying problem, but somehow just their lifestyle changed and they weren't continuing to deplete their manganese as well, as much as they were. But let's say they started bicycling and now they have a new physical stress superimposed over the weak or less than optimal kidney system. Kidney and meridian and organ system. So they're bicycling a lot. Well, now they're getting knee pain. And then sometime later, they decide, oh, they've learned that one of the soda pop producers is now putting Splenda in to their pop and is much less caloric value. They now start drinking a lot of Splenda-laced soda pop. Well, now, believe it or not, their energy level goes down. They start getting skin rashes. Immune system goes down. The knees are a wreck, but now they're getting back pain. And so what's happened now, they've added something into their lifestyle that is very hard on the kidneys and the liver, and so now they're getting kidney signals from the low back pain, which is the newest symptom that came along, but they also have skin rashes, which has to do with the liver.
Oh.
So hopefully that's a fairly good visual picture in people's minds that as we change, as we do things in our lifestyle, we start stressing different organ systems. You know, we think these symptoms just pop up from nowhere. Usually they're caused by the lifestyle, which can have to do with our emotions and how we're coping with them, our whole environment, chemical, electromagnetic, emotional environment, things of that nature, not to mention, of course, dietary and habits and lifestyle factors. So hopefully that gives kind of a picture that the body will tell you a certain organ system isn't working well by presenting you with a symptom. The average person doesn't know how to interpret that information. The beauty of clinical kinesiology is that we use that tool to do those evaluations, and we quickly can determine that, oh, you know, it's just my normal headache, or, yeah, my left shoulder hurts every now and then. I probably used it a little too much. Those ways that people minimize these symptoms are doing them a disservice because they're not understanding how it really relates back to the health of their body and the health of a specific organ. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, yes. And while I'm thinking about that, I'm checking out here, and I see that your website is coming along nicely. Folks, you can visit www.yourbodycantalk.com. And this is something new. Dr. Levy is now taking her work out all over the world, and so some of the things, the website is a work of art in progress, but you can go on there, and there's a bunch of different articles that you can download, and if people want to get more information, can you share the phone numbers that they would use to reach you?
Okay. The best phone number, it would probably be the 800-594-9070. And that actually will ring into the office. If they're local to Southern Colorado, they can dial 719-315-2683.
Okay.
The website, as you mentioned, is, I call it in its embryonic stage, and actually I haven't seen it in the last week or two, so it will be much more complete and much more wonderful in the future. So whatever's there now is simply a small, small sampling of what will be there.
Yeah, well, I like already that is in place. People can download articles for free about acid-forming foods, or learn not everyone has had acupuncture, and having been receiving that from you for a period of time, I can tell people it is so amazing how these little tiny acupuncture needles that can barely be felt they actually open up energy flows, and oh, what an improvement it makes. And that's one of the key parts of your treatment systems. There's a
right
thing, alkaline forming foods, allergy signs and symptoms, different things that people may not know about, generally like castor oil packs, using those. There's some things that they can learn about, the laser treatments that you do, a remedy for gout, just a bunch of things, folks. So I invite you to check that out. And yes, there will be a lot more in the future, but the article section is there, and you have now phone number to call into her office, the two numbers, 800-594-9070, or in Southern Colorado, 719-315-2683. So that's a very, very positive for people to be able to learn about this. I'd like to ask you something. A whole chapter of your book, Chapter 8, is about electromagnetic fields. And with all that's going on in the world, global warming, global financial crisis, Armageddon, did we have it already or not? No, I don't think we did. But, I mean, there's so many many things going on, and here's this thing of our high-tech world and all of the electronics, and we're kind of going, well, isn't it neat? You can text and you can, you know, the computer and all this stuff, and there's a lot of positives, but I'd like to invite you devoted a chapter of this, unfriendly energy, electromagnetic pollution. Can you go in and describe some of how that affects people?
Yes. You know, the influence, the electromagnetic influence is so pervasive today. I mean, it's just amazing. The technological advancements that have been made in, you know, instrumentation and electronic devices and convenience, remote control and garage door openers, all these things, we are so inundated. I remember many times just being in a little setting, a small setting in an office. I do a lot of in-office patient lectures and just to educate and tell people more, to be aware of their whole environment and their lifestyle. Just sitting quietly in a room, you don't even know which variety of electromagnetic influences are in your body within that space. You've got the wiring of the building that you're in, which carries electrical impulses to power, you know, the lights and the appliances, et cetera, but you're not aware of it. I mean, the average person is not aware of that. Then they may have, you know, computers and televisions and fax machines and stereos and clock radios, refrigerators. All of these things can be emitting electronic pollution and scatter radiation when you're not aware of it. But beyond that, then we have satellite beams coming through. We have, you know, a traditional tower radio station input coming through. We have TV transmissions, analog cable, etc. We have all of these things going on that can, that we absorb and that can impact us. And I think just an example, how little we acknowledge how these electrical influences affect us. Oh, I'd say about a week and a half ago, I was out on my back porch just enjoying the wonderful afternoon, and it started blowing and it started getting ready for a storm. And there was some lightning in nearby. Well, I was on my cell phone, and lightning, you know, was in the region. It wasn't terribly close, but the lightning actually disconnected that phone call. And
wow.
That's the electricity, you know, nature's electricity in the air. But I realized to do that, that a great deal of electricity ran through my body at that moment, you know, came from the air through my hand and into the phone, basically. And so we are so pervasively inundated in this sea of electromagnetic impulses that the real moment of being quiet, you know, going to, you know, hiking into the wilderness area, 6 miles, 8 miles into a wilderness area, and actually sitting down with no phone and none of the electronics, no television, no radio, nothing of that sort, no computer, no internet, no YouTube, just being quiet in the middle of the woods is such a rare experience for people these days. And it's amazing, but we really need that. We need that rejuvenation. We need to plug into the Earth's energy field and let go of the man-made electricity and energy field.
Yeah. No,
what I love when I can't go to the mountains and I can't get into that environment, I was thinking recently how privileged I am that I'm controlling my environment with the energy field clearing devices that I've been so fortunate to learn about from you, Ken, and to receive from you. And I've got several in my home. I have a small home office, a separate building. I have one in that building. I have four in my primary office. I have a smaller, use a smaller office. I have one there. And then, wonderfully enough, you outfitted me one with an energy clearing clock in my car, a comfort clock, actually in my car. And you had the hookup that would convert, you know, the AC and DC, and it actually has a power strip, and it's all plugged in. And I am so de-stressed, so electromagnetically de-stressed, because almost everywhere I really spend much of my time, I have that protection. And it's amazing. And when it first was installed in the car, a day or two later, I took a two-hour drive down a highway and could tell the difference, that the driving was a little easier, I was more relaxed, it just wasn't such a stressful drive. It was not a drive in the country, it was a drive on a four-lane highway. And that I really appreciate, but I think we all need to take a little momentary break and unplug from some of these devices, that as much as we can control our own environment, our work environment, our living environment, to the best that we possibly can, that has a huge advantage and keeps us calm. Another stress-reducing measure that I do to a fault is I unplug myself from the news.
The news.
The news.
Isn't the news supposed to inform us and not scare us to death?
Well, it doesn't seem to function that way. But the best news show that I saw recently, I don't watch them very often, but when I'm visiting with people who have them, I do watch them some. My TV is all set up just for DVDs and movies and things I choose to see. In fact, where I live, don't even have television service. But we ended up watching a BBC news out of South Africa, and then a few minutes later they followed up and we saw news coming out of Russia. And they were more matter-of-fact and simple news reporting style, I think, than most of what's on the American news. And it was very, as a contrast, it was very much more informative and less emotionally impactful. Be that as it may, I do think that we hear too much of the bad news. Most of the news out there is bad news, and it is so much intimidation and fear producing and all of that. So that's just another way that we can help ourselves by staying calm and relaxing.
Well, that's important. Now, I was curious, too, in your book, in that chapter, the co-author, Carol Lair, you begin Chapter 8 by telling a story of her having some problems. She worked in a TV station and was dealing with neck and back problems. And can you describe a little bit of the process? Because her situation kind of is it the crux of some of what you do with your clinical kinesiology. She had one set of symptoms. You tracked it to something else, and then did some things to address it with a certain level of success. But to really get it handled, you needed to do something important to address an environmental issue for her. Could you share that story with us?
Surely. She first came to me and had just chronic aching muscles, achiness, painfulness, stiffness throughout the neck, the mid-thoracic area, into the lower back too. But it was just constantly there. And we treated her. We did the kinesiology. We have figured out which meridian system was involved and used the acupuncture, used some additional nutrients to support that. And actually, the first real breakthrough, though, we got a certain amount of help with those measures. The first real breakthrough came when I asked her, are you using a microwave? Somehow, I just tuned in that, you know, something in her diet beyond what we had discussed. And that was some years ago, and I was just really beginning to understand how difficult it was on the body to eat food cooked in a microwave. Well, at that point, she said, oh, yes, I use it 3 times a day. She'd been given one by her then-fiancé, who has become her husband. And I said, let's do an experiment and not use it for 2 weeks and see what happens. She did, and she improved dramatically.
Oh.
Not to a state of being perfect yet, but she did.
Okay.
She made great strides, great progress. And
then we went forward
from there. Yes?
I guess just a momentary distraction. In the story, I'm understanding from some of my sources that certain of the European countries have actually outlawed the sale of microwave cooking appliances, because from what I'm understanding, if you want to take perfectly good food and strip it of all nutritional value, the microwave is the ideal way to do that. And and I'm thinking
if you
have like relatives or friends that have overstayed their welcome at your house, you could probably just feed them a few days of some of this food, and no, that's terrible. I'm just kidding, folks. That's not really a technique to be used. It's being facetious there. But is that? Do you know of any of that stuff about some of these countries, you know, taking to heart how bad that is for nutrient quality?
You know, I do not have that specific information, but now I will want to be searching for that. There are many of the European countries are very progressive about some of these ideas and understandings. I mean, many of them, I have not confirmed this, but I've heard that they, most European countries are not allowing high-density television as well. I'd like to have a definition or, you know, more specific information about that. The HDTV, I think, could be proved to be more harmful than the analog television as well, but I don't know which countries are on top of it. Many of the European countries, however, outlawed the amalgam mercury fillings long before California began to restrict it. California is the only state I'm aware of that's really done much there. That's a whole another discussion, a whole another topic, but that mercury fillings in the teeth actually, interestingly enough, makes people more susceptible to electromagnetic influences. I have one patient who actually could hear a radio station that was near her house through the filling in her teeth, and of course it was in her head. I mean, she was hearing this music and voices in her head, and it was really because the metal was attracting that the electromagnetic influence was occurring because the extra metal was in her teeth.
So I guess hopefully she could hear some of the commercials and knew it wasn't like some evil aliens talking to her.
They don't have
commercials that they're trying to destroy you from interplanetary sources. But,
so that's a little off the track where we were, but.
Well, I mean, it is important because you were making mention of the electromagnetics. And one of the things that I thought was interesting and, you know, in your story with Carol Lair, you mentioned that she was getting some wonderful improvements by not using microwaves so that her body was getting actually some important nutrient quality. And then you went on to say that even with all of these things, she was not completely curing the imbalance that was leading to her symptoms. And then this is kind of so exciting. It was like the missing piece of the puzzle. And would you share what that was?
Oh, yes. Well, at her workplace, she worked at a television station, and on the roof of this large building were quite a few of the satellite dishes, which I'm sure just focused a huge amount of EMFs into the building. And, of course, the building was full of computers and TV monitors and, you know, electronic
studio, equipment. Electronic equipment for processing tapes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was just jam-packed with electronics.
Electronic forest there, you know, just too much. So in any case, on the home front, she was doing better because of not eating the microwave food. But at the workplace, 8 hours, 8 successive hours, 4, 5 days a week, she consistently was bombarded by a huge overload of the electromagnetic influences. And so at that point, when we began to realize, you know, what all of that influence was that was affecting her, then she actually used the electromagnetic clearing device, a comfort clock, at work in her cubicle as much as she could. And I believe she unplugged it and took it home at night, too. And that was the actual breakthrough. You know, we had 2 or 3 benchmark breakthroughs, but then this was the last and the final breakthrough. She really began to feel better, to have more energy, to let go of all the tight muscles and symptoms that she had been having. And
wow.
So it truly was the final piece, the missing piece that she really needed to have better health and to actualize her health to a much greater degree.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad to hear you share that story, because my own self personally, I lived under power lines, the big high tension power lines where you could just hear the air crackle, walk out the door, and the hair on an arm would stand on end. I mean, at first I was kind of amused by it because it was an interesting effect. And because I was next to an elementary school, and the parents in the neighborhood, they all seemed to love their children. So I assumed, well, this couldn't be an issue because with the children and, right underneath that and myself and, you know, hearing it and, you know, the energy of it and seeing what it could do on the hair on my arm, I just kind of said, oh, well, that's just an interesting effect, but doesn't really have anything negative on the health. And of course, if I'd have known about, you know, your work at that time, it would have been critically important, because I stayed in that setting for 2 years and then moved about 15 miles and ended up moving into an apartment building that was also under power lines and across the street from a substation. And here I was steadily getting worse, chronic fatigue, depression, some anxiety and the irritability and going to different practitioners, none of which ever made mention of anything about my electromagnetic exposure, which of course is an important part of your practice. And that 7-year period, I probably spent close to $50,000 without getting the results that had any lasting effect. Things kept getting worse and worse because my body was just basically being slowly cooked by this intense electromagnetic exposure. And I happened to be what they would call kind of like the canary in the coal mine, or more sensitive than the average, because the neighbors around me, I noticed, weren't experiencing as much of the negative symptoms. And that's, they also, in the studies under power line corridors, they show that there's an increased rate. It doesn't mean everyone under the power lines gets cancer, but there's an increase of that, cancers and tumors for those kinds of settings. So,
exactly.
And what was interesting was until this technology came into my life personally, I didn't get any lasting benefit from all of these kind of treatments, and what was making it even worse, and I want to, you know, caution my listeners too, if you're going to someone and they're a good doctor and yet you're not getting results, please, be gentle with yourself. Because here I was going to these highly regarded practitioners who are getting all these good results, and after a while, I just began to think, what's wrong with me? They're good doctors. There must be something wrong with me, why I'm not getting help from them, and they've helped friends and other people. And I just want to caution everyone, sometimes situations are that you need to find a different health practitioner, or for me, the turnaround was this technology, the Comfort Clock technology, and when that was added, just like with your co-author Carol Ayer, that was the missing piece of the wellness puzzle, and the chiropractic adjustments held longer, the nutrition worked better, my mind calmed down, and I'm assuming, are you seeing some of these other kinds of results with some of your patients?
Oh, I couldn't hear the last part of what you said.
Oh, I was curious, as you're having patients using more of this Comfort Clock technology to address the electromagnetics, what kind of things are you seeing in results?
Very similar. You know, they're responding more quickly. I have one family. We had four family members, two little girls under the age of 8. I think one is 7, one is 4. A variety of problems. But the little girls were just sick all the time. And of course, we combined other treatments and nutritional work and everything at the same time. But they did get a Comfort Clock. The parents have home business using computers, at least two different computers on all day long. And just putting one Comfort Clock in the home, all four of the family members are doing better. And I've treated three of them. One I really haven't treated. And but they're all feeling better, more energy, less of the allergies and digestive troubles. But we did not do a specific regimen of all the Comfort Clock period of time and then only the other treatment for a period of time. So we can't totally see that one in that case. But I know that just adding the Comfort Clock in had a big, big influence for those folks. Back to my office where we have four Comfort Clocks in the office, which basically gives enough protection for the entire building of many, many different suites. But so often people walk into the office and they say, I can't believe how comfortable, how relaxing.
Yeah.
Sorry about that siren.
Oh,
how comfortable,
okay.
How relaxing it is in your office. I mean, people just walk in from off the street and can tell a difference. They may not know.
Yeah, and which office is this?
That's my primary office down in Southern Colorado.
Okay, in Canyon City in the mountains?
Yes.
Okay,
well,
so you're in...
It's
so
where the plains and the mountains meet, really, right
okay.
At the junction.
Oh, okay, so even in a small town without a huge urban area, but a small town, would have less electromagnetics than average, putting in the four Comfort Clocks, the local townspeople can notice a big difference in how good it feels in your office.
Yes.
So that, that's definitely a positive. Well, I wish we may have to do another show because we've about used up an hour of time, and I know there's so much more that I would like to get into with you about some of the different
great
benefits.
Yes.
And more you know, about your work. So what I'd like to do is invite you to come back, and we'll reschedule, folks, to have more of Dr. Levy be with us. And I just want to thank you for all your good help. And,
well,
and beloved listeners, tune in every week. We'll have a wonderful guest next week that with some interesting things to share. So a surprise every week for you at Advanced Living. Now, Dr. Levy, thanks again so much.
Well, thank you, Ken.